sort of built to win. 2-1, 2-0, 2-1 in the last three games.
There's a whole lot of small ball going on. Jim Harris joining us on the Revolution Hotline. Jim, how are you, my man?
Hello, how's it going?
Good. You picked a much more comfortable hour to come in on. We spent most of the first hour talking about Jason Collins, so this will be more fun. We're talking Razorback baseball, and as Phil pointed out, on a bit of a roll, still playing small ball in most cases, but finding ways to win. Hopefully that will be the case tonight against Missouri State.
Yeah, I think that another key has been they've seriously cut down on the errors in the past four games. I think they may have only had two this weekend. That's a key. If you're going to, you know, not put up much offense and they don't have it, you certainly can't give extra at-bats, extra chances for runs for teams that you should be able to hold down with good pitching, which Arkansas is doing now.
Yeah, and again, as we've talked about a little bit this week, the schedule gets better. Arkansas, difficult certainly task at Kentucky this weekend, yeah. But then you get Tennessee at Baum Stadium the next weekend, and you finish up on the road against Auburn, one of the worst two teams in the SEC. The other one, of course, Georgia, a team that Arkansas beat narrowly in two games, and you'd like to think they would have won all three had they had a chance to play on Sunday.
Yeah, probably could have done that. I mean, certainly they took the two they were able to play. Kentucky's always been an odd trip and a hard trip for Arkansas baseball. Had a tough time with them in recent trips up there. I'm surprised Auburn is kind of fallen down. They seemed to have things going a couple of years ago. Were leading the league at one point. That band box of a stadium down there they've got where they can just hit it out. Hit fly balls out of the park for homers. You know, usually fit their style. I guess they don't have that kind of player this year, obviously. And again, Arkansas is going to have to rely on the pitching. And then Tennessee's in a rebuilding mode as well. Phil knows an assistant coach for Tennessee. It was doing a really good job for the Travelers last year. About halfway through the year and then up and left. I think that guy was a good coach, right, Phil? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bill Mosiello is he's a really good baseball man, and I think he got an opportunity at Tennessee that he couldn't pass up, partially because it's a program rebuild. I mean, they're not even the top program in the state with Vanderbilt, just down the road. So, and it hasn't necessarily improved in the 2 years that he's been there. So, not putting it on him, but, I think it's tough to sort of build a program up in the SEC.
Yeah. Well, it takes time with everybody. I mean, you're looking, I've seen where Texas hasn't won a series in Big 12 play. Would you have ever thought you would hear that sentence?
No.
Ever, I mean, Texas with Augie Garrido and their great tradition. And, I think they've run into a situation where they, and it happens to Dave Van Horn a little bit too, where you try to recruit, but you also have to recruit against the big league teams who are drafting some of these same players. And sometimes it works out for you, and sometimes you're left holding the bag, so to speak. And some guys you hoped had come in to provide the big stick in the middle of the lineup, decided to go elsewhere or go ahead and pursue pro baseball. So it's not an easy route to build a college baseball program, and it's also in a certain year or two, and we're seeing it a little bit with basketball as quickly as people can jump to the pros. That you can be on top of the world one minute and have a tough break in recruiting where they go to the pro ranks real quick, and then you're building again. Even Texas.
Yeah, and seeing some YouTube videos of Augie Garrido going crazy on his team.
I thought there'd be some good ones this year now.
I guarantee you there have got to be some good ones floating around out there if anybody has the guts to tape him ever again. I'm going to guess that he probably made that a no-no after some of those videos got out. But, Jim, a little, off any serious topic at this point because I don't know what else we can pound into. I guess we can talk a little bit about the draft if you want. I guess the big surprise for us was the fact that most of the projections had Alvin Bailey going first among the Razorbacks, and he didn't even get drafted. But hopefully he can stick on as a free agent. One of the things we did talk about yesterday, too, was the guys who signed, including Dennis Johnson, is a guy that, you know, I expected, I guess, to be drafted late somewhere. I just think he's versatile enough that he could be a huge asset, and I hope that it turns out to be the case in Houston or if he lands somewhere else if it doesn't work out there. But somebody sent me a list yesterday of the top 25 undrafted free agents in the NFL over the last 25 years. And number, let me see where he fell on the list. He was in the top 15, Arian Foster, the running back from Tennessee, who, of course, has had a great career so far in Houston.
Undrafted. Didn't realize he was undrafted. That's
amazing.
He
had some fumble issues at Tennessee. He's certainly a big frame guy. He was impressive at times at Tennessee. I remember him having a couple of high-profile fumbles where he was going in to score and fumbled at the one or, you know, whatever. But certainly things have worked out well for him. Hopefully some of these guys from Arkansas who have signed free agent contracts will have a chance to do the same.
Yeah, the good running back that Rutgers had, who's similarly built to Dennis Johnson, didn't go until the seventh.
The Ray Rice?
Mm-hmm. No, I meant the one this past season that Arkansas was focused on. I'm sorry, I don't have the...
I blocked the Rutgers game out because it was such a miserable debacle.
DeJuan
so.
Jameson or whatever his name was.
Okay.
That was a big running back in the Big East. He goes in the seventh round. But
all I remember is our quarterback throwing seven touchdowns or whatever he did.
Yeah, and somebody else. I mean, occasionally there'll be some gems on Twitter, so to speak, and somebody had a great one about how all these D-backs from Rutgers were going in the draft, you know, kind of early, and I think Kobe was still sitting out there.
Yeah.
And he lit him up for 300 yards in receiving up here at, you know, in that loss in Fayetteville. I think Kobe Hamilton's career is going to be just fine. I think he went to Cincinnati. I think he'll mesh well with Andy Dalton. I think we'll see Kobe Hamilton out of all these receivers we've seen in the last few years come out of Arkansas. I think he got a good break as to where he went and who he'll be playing with. And I think he'll end up with, you know, probably make an impact earlier than most of these guys. The Alvin Bailey pick, or not non-pick,
yeah,
was a surprise to me of the draft. I just don't think he would have gone out, although I think he may have had some classroom issues that he just didn't want to deal with anymore.
Yeah, I think I saw a tweet from him that he said, "I did it. Don't worry about me. I did this to myself."
Yeah.
I like the honesty.
It was going to be a hard road for him maybe on that end. But I think he also went out kind of with the I think people believed he would be picked. But he'll work out fine. As you pointed out, I mean, there are great stories on the free agent ranks, and there's some real bombs on the draft side. I mean,
that's right.
The biggest one was covered really nicely this weekend on your station with, I think there's a show y'all carry with Jeremy Schaaf. Is that right?
Yeah.
Or some interview. It's called The Sporting Life, which is real interesting because it's not connected with Sporting Life Arkansas, but they had a great interview with that I listened to with Jamarcus Russell about noon Saturday. That really, that's got to be the biggest bomb in draft history. I mean, $70 million.
Yeah,
paid it to him, and he was definitely, you know, 350 pounds at one point, and you know, lost all his confidence. He lost, you know, family members that kind of left him depressed, and he's actually just trying to make a comeback, is what Jeremy Schaaf reported.
Yeah, he's lost about 40 pounds, and I think he's got a goal of losing about 60 or something.
Right. But his goal is to hit 270. It'd be nice. It'd be a nice story in sports if come back.
Yeah, but being fat wasn't his problem. Being bad was his problem, so we'll see how it goes. Although,
well, he had great receivers at LSU.
Yeah.
He could just run under his passes.
Yeah,
you know, he could just throw it up there, and those guys were phenomenal, and I don't see what the Raiders saw. Now, on the other hand, I love it that the Raiders drafted Tyler Wilson, because I think of any spot in the NFL where Tyler could come in and get playing time right off the bat, it would be Oakland, without a question. Flynn and Terrell Pryor.
Yeah, he could play right away. He could also get hurt right away. I mean, that's a I hate to say that, but I mean, it's the, you know, the joke is, I mean, we say it, but I mean, it's where careers go to die. I mean, that's just a hard, it has been a hard place to win. I had a guy email me yesterday and said, that's old Raiders. He's, you know, they got a new GM. It's a new era. They're going to start moving in the right direction, and they're doing some good things. Well, big thing for, if I'm Tyler Wilson, who's definitely going to have a chance to start out there, is, you know, what's the offensive line look like? Plus, I looked through their list of receivers, Jim. I didn't recognize the name on there. Darius Hayward-Bey's no longer there. I mean, they've really gone a different direction.
Well, the only name I can think of out there is Darren McFadden.
Right.
You know, I haven't really followed him that closely either.
Right.
And I know he's had his injury problems, and some of those have been because of their line situation. If this was the Raiders of old when Al Davis had it all together and that, I mean, you know, he never missed a beat.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who would fit in for them in quarterback way, if this was the 80s all over again, would be Ryan Mallett, the more vertical type attack. But anyway, I just like, though, that Tyler has a chance to really play early there. He's not going to be able to learn under a guy. You're not going to learn under Matt Flynn. Certainly not going to learn anything behind Terrell Pryor.
No.
He's just going to have to come in and take what Bobby Petrino taught him and lead.
Well, the only thing that Tyler Wilson can learn is how to maybe trade some Raiders gear for tattoos. So that would be a good deal. I mean, that could be important. Just saying. Terrell Pryor can be helpful. Okay.
We can also talk just briefly about recruiting for basketball.
Please do.
Arkansas will be hoping that they get a positive or get a commitment and transfer from Jerome Segears, the Rutgers point guard who's leaving there. He visited Auburn. He visited Arkansas. I think we may have talked about him last week. I can't remember. But he had also planned to visit Cincinnati, Marquette. I know Baylor was trying to get in on him. West Virginia was trying to get in there. And I believe over the weekend, or at least by Friday night, he was already canceling the rest of his visits. So read what you want to into that. He went to the Catfish Hole on Saturday night. He really spoke highly of his meeting with Mike Anderson. It sounds like it's still might be a 50-50 deal. He hadn't committed yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think Auburn probably said, look, we have no one here. You can
you can be
a star here, but and play 35 minutes a game or more. Mm-hmm. But he's perfect for Mike Anderson's system, running the court. He can finish. He can put up points. He has a chance, because of the situation at Rutgers, for Arkansas to apply for a waiver for immediate eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
No promises that it would be granted. But Arkansas could absolutely, you know, we've talked about this over and over and over again, that Arkansas could use Segears immediately. He's that kind of a player. He's not going to lead them instantly to the tournament, but he's a missing piece. It kind of goes with what they have and what they're bringing in as far as big men. So it's big.
Always on it.
Well, certainly a lot of work to do in the world of recruiting for basketball, and hopefully things continue to go the right direction. But
talked about last week, Anton Beard committed to Arkansas last Tuesday.
Yep.
Commitments aren't binding, but I'm certain he's binded for the most part, and he brings tons to the table. He's also supposedly up to about 6 feet now. I think last week I'd said he's 5'10". That was based on what he measured out before the summer play last year.
Yeah.
They're saying now he's 6'10", 180, solid finish. He's a great finisher inside for a guard.
I'm still waiting to sprout myself. so I feel
with that, you're waiting to sprout.
Still waiting to sprout myself. I'm still looking for 6 feet. And I do want to remind everybody, too, make sure if you want to see Anton Beard, the former or the future Razorback, if you're looking for him in a high school gym, make sure you don't mistakenly head over to Parkview. He's taking his talents to North Little Rock. So if you want to catch him this season, that's where you'll have to go. Just wanted to give everybody clarification on that.
I think those games are going to be, I think anywhere North Little Rock plays for the next 2 years are going to be tough tickets to get into. You better get there early because Kayvon Allen will be a senior next year. He'll be easily the most recruited player, probably more than Archie, more than Joe Johnson, more than Bobby Portis. He'll be probably the heaviest recruited player out of Central Arkansas or out of Little Rock area in years.
Imagine Anton Beard surprised Jim when he came back to North Little Rock and realized that he was going to be playing with one of the best juniors in the state next season. What a nice little bonus for him. I'm sure he hadn't even considered that when he transferred from Parkview back to North Little Rock.
Consider that?
I guess what a great bonus for him.
Worked out.
Totally out of left field. That was awesome.
They've got a terrific amount of talent there. Football, basketball, baseball. That school's really got it athletically going.
Yeah, they do. My tongue is firmly planted in my cheek right now. Jim, I appreciate you, my friend, always. Enjoy your day. We got to get out on the course again soon once I'm healthy enough to play.
I was able to play Pinnacle Country Club yesterday, Justin, if I could just add this before I wrap up.
Yep.
They had a little media day up there. I wish you could have gone.
I wish I'd have been invited. I'm sure I would have.
It was phenomenal shape for Northwest Arkansas this time of year. You know how much rain we've all and cold we've had, but that will be the site June 17th through the 20th for the Northwest Arkansas Championship, the LPGA event. We'll have all the big LPGA name players in there. The biggest thing they're trying to do is turn their number 17 hole, little par 3, which plays 188 normally. They're going to make it a short par 3, and they're going to put stands around, or they're going to set it up where it's sort of like 16 out at Phoenix, the big place where everybody's hitting and hollering and cheering for hole-in-ones and birdies and all that, and try to make that a really exciting thing. Ticket prices are going to only be $30 for the entire tournament. So they've certainly made this an affordable event. They've moved it to a better time of the year. It shouldn't be quite as hot as it's been in other tournaments there, although June does warm up a little bit. And it should be a lot of fun. I hope you guys might consider going up there doing something with the LPGA.
I might have if I got an invite to the media day.
I think they need to probably just get you on their mailing list.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
I had a feeling when I got there they didn't know who all they need to be talking to.
Buddy. They got Jim Harris. They don't need to talk to me. they knew that you would come on the show and talk about him.
Don't forget SportingLifeArkansas.com's chat on Twitter tonight. Anybody want to join in, they can. We'll probably be talking about the draft.
All right. Jim, thanks, my man. I appreciate you. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, guys.
All right. If not before, we'll talk next Tuesday for sure. We'll go ahead and take a timeout. We'll be back in just a moment. That's cute. Ethan says that Anton Byrne actually just found out that Trey Schaap graduated from Parkview and he didn't want to end up as a smug radio host, so that's why he's taking his talents to North Little Rock now. I don't think that's the reason why. Maybe he didn't want to live in Derek Fisher's shadow at Parkview High. Maybe he wanted to be his own man.
Well, Trey's got a larger shadow.
Be the standard bearer for North Little Rock. Trey has a larger shadow than Derek Fisher?
Is he a little taller?
I don't think so.
No?
Mm-mm. Did see Fish last night. Unfortunately, the only highlight I saw was him throwing the ball away. They didn't win, but they will win again, and they will win that series, I imagine. That would be a safe bet. As safe as anything. As safe as the fact that we're going to talk about a very important charity golf tournament coming up after the break. As safe a bet as we're going to celebrate a very important retirement party today. My man Lonnie in the house at Double B's Exxon. It is his last day, and he has been here since 1995, Phil. 1995.
And, I mean, there's a lot of people here to celebrate with him.
18 years of goodness right up in here. So, did I do my math right on that? 2005, carry the one. It's about 18 years, right?
18.
Yeah.
Yes.
Some of our listeners have not been along as long as Lonnie's been rolling up in here. Oh, and by the way, his wife Kathy also retiring, at least from a full-time standpoint. She's been here 2 days longer than Lonnie has. So
they can ride off into the sunset together.
That's it. That's it. I don't know how long. I have to ask him. We'll have to get him on here a little bit. I don't know how long they were married prior to actually starting work at Double B's, but I'm curious to see.
How long?
How long they were married prior to actually working together. The fact that they've been able to work together for 18. I couldn't work with my wife for 18 days.
That's what I was going to say.
I mean, and by that, I mean she couldn't work with me for 18 minutes.
My wife and I get 8 days apart at a time, and that helps keep our relationship strong.
Yeah.
I could working together.
So the old saying is true about...
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Thank you. That old saying. That's the one.
Yeah, but that usually works when you don't have kids. When you have kids, especially young ones, I don't know if absence makes the heart grow fonder.
My favorite saying is proximity breeds contempt. At least around the buzz it does.
No, not at our house any longer. During the baseball season, proximity helps sanity.
My proximity crazy Mike's was extremely close this week, and I went down there and had a crawfish po' boy sandwich, and I may have eaten 10 wings or so. At least I split 20 wings with somebody else, and I don't know if he ate a full 10 or not, but I definitely got my share and then some. Thai chili, garlic parmesan, those are my go-tos.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love the ranch, the hot ranch, and just the regular hot wings as well. Crazy Mike has a number of flavors that will please you and your family. And don't forget Tuesday nights, the night to go, if you got crumb snatchers like I do. $1.75 for a kid with a paid adult. So you can bring your kids and your wife, and the kids eat for $3.50 total. That's the deal.
Well, in that case, they would just look at their food for $3.50 total.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't want to eat that.
But usually you'll pay like $15 for them to look at their food, so that's
right.
A good deal.
Yeah.
And the great thing is, their food that your kids would eat, you'll actually like too at Crazy Mike's. That's what's safe about it. So it's a can't-miss proposition. You can always take it home and eat it later too. Crazy Mike's, open for business, 11 o'clock every Monday through Saturday. Go by and see him. Tell him I said hello. Tell him to come and see me. I miss him. All you can eat catfish Wednesday. All you can eat wings on Thursday. It's Crazy Mike's every week. They also have soft-shell crab po' boy sandwiches now, too, for the fancy.
That's what I got to try.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be back. I like the California raisins drop in there, big baby. Good work. We'll be back. It took me by surprise.